بارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. وقال أيضا: ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عنه عمله إلا من ثلاث: إلا من صدقة جارية، أو علم ينتفع به، أو ولد صالح يدعو له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله المولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected ulama ikram, elders, dear friends, most parents have a concern, have a fikr, they have a worry about the security of their children, their financial and material security. So they make every effort from the time the child is little to ensure that the child is enrolled in school and the child is pursuing his secular education correctly. He's making the grades, he's getting the marks that he's supposed to be getting. And when he comes later on, when he's progressing in his secular studies, then to ensure that he's going for the tuition for the subjects that he needs the extra work in, extra assistance in. And then the matric year, ensuring that he does well in the matric year and he gets those A aggregate marks. Then the placement, he must get a place in university so that he can study for that degree or for that profession. And then he must get a good job after that, once he has completed his degree or he's completed his studies at university or in campus or wherever it may be. And then he must secure a good job so that he earns well. And the objective of all of this, the reason for all of this, is that my child must be independent financially, must be secure in a material sense, financial sense. My child must be secure and must be independent. He must not be dependent on anybody else. And then when I'm old, then my child will be able to take care of me. And when my eyes are closed, then my child will be okay, will be comfortable. He will continue having a good life. But seldom does the thought cross our minds. We think about this, that when my eyes are closed, then my child will be comfortable in a material sense. But has this thought crossed our minds, that when my child's own eyes are closed, then will my child be comfortable in the qabr? Will my child be successful with the questioning of the malaika? Will my child be successful and comfortable on the day of qiyamah? And will my child have entry into Jannatul Firdaus bila hisab, inshallah? This thought seldom crosses our minds, because it's the nature of man that we see what is in front of us. We see the dunya, and then in the pursuit of this dunya, in the pursuit of bringing this material comfort to our children, then often many sacrifices are made. Many worldly sacrifices are made. Now we have to get that child into that prestigious school, so we have to have the extra money for that. So we'll sacrifice some luxuries at home. We'll cut down on some additional expenses so that we can pay those school fees, so that we can get those tuitions done, etc., at those prestigious schools that are attaining good aggregates, good marks. We'll sacrifice on some other luxuries. Maybe we won't go on holidays as often as we used to, so that we can save up and get our child in that line. And sadly, together with the worldly sacrifices, more tragically, dini sacrifices are also made. Sacrifices to the deen of our own children. Creating that mindset in our children sacrifices the likes of excuses. Because my child is busy with exams now, So he won't be able to attend the masjid for salah because he's studying. If he doesn't study, he's not going to get the grades. He's not going to make it in that test. He's not going to make it in that exam. So he'll read namaz at home. He won't come to the masjid because it's going to take up a lot of his time. It's going to disrupt his schedule, his study schedule. And then come time for the exams, then a couple of weeks now, he's not going to be able to come to madrasa. Or if he comes to madrasa, then he'll only come to madrasa to maktab, maybe for 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour maximum, because you know why, he's got a lot of studying to do and he's not gonna make it in his grades if he doesn't give that time to his studies. So from the time that child is in his formative years, this impression is being created and this mind molding is taking place, that material, financial, the things of the dunya is my objective and is my pathway to success, is my vehicle to take me successfully across life. So this is the mindset that is created in the child from his formative years. Yes, we all have to cross this ocean of life, and we have to get across this ocean of life successfully and reach our destination. Our destination, inshallah, is Jannat al-Firdaus. Each and every person, each and every mu'min and believer aspires for this. In order to get across this ocean of life, we need to be on a vehicle. We need to be on board a vessel. And that vessel is the vessel of Iman. If we are not on board the vessel of Iman, then we will not cross this ocean of life and reach, we will cross this ocean of life, but we will not reach the correct destination. Allah forbid, Allah save us. If we are not on board the vessel of Iman, then we will cross this ocean of life and Allah save us from eternal doom in the fire of Jahannam. So in order to reach the correct destination, we have to traverse this ocean of life on board the correct vehicle, the correct vessel, and that is the vessel of Iman. And the vessel of Iman on its own is not sufficient to take a person in an expedited manner to Jannatul Firdaus, smooth sailing. Together with Iman, he needs the Amal Salihah as well. A believer, he needs his Iman, that is his secure vehicle, and he needs to fuel this vessel so that it can overcome the different hurdles, the different trials that will be brought before it through its journey, the different difficulties in the form of temptation, in the form of different gunas, in the form of different challenges that will be faced by this person. He needs to strengthen his Iman through Amal Salihah. And yes, to get across this ocean on this journey, he will need some provisions, he will need some food, he will need some wealth. But that is not the main, factor that is going to take him across. The primary thing, the main thing that is going to take him across is his vessel fueled by his Iman, his vessel of Iman fueled by his Amal Salihah. We can look at that in a worldly example also. A person is traveling, if he's traveling from here overseas, if he doesn't have any fuel in it, but he has a lot of food, he has a wallet full of money, he's not going to get anywhere. His vessel is going to be floating on the water and not moving anywhere. But if he has the vessel and he has the fuel in the vessel to take him across, he may not have food, he may not have a lot of money, but it will take him across to his destination. He may have some challenges, but it will eventually take him across to his destination. So in this life also, if a person is not totally financially settled, he doesn't have wealth and he doesn't have money to and different privileges and luxuries to the top level, he will make it across, inshallah. He will live through this life, he will make it across. But if a person is deprived of Iman, and if a person is deprived of the tawfiq of Amal Salihah, then this makes his journey very, very, very almost impossible as well. So the mindset has to be created, what are my priorities? What are our priorities? What is supposed to be in the forefront of my life, giving more of my time, and what is secondary? Now to understand this, we can look and take a glimpse into the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the lanterns of hidayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to this dunya. We take a glimpse into their lives to understand priorities, to understand how they prioritized. If you look at Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, Khalilullah, who was at every juncture in his life completely submissive to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unflinchingly, without thinking, without, in simple words, without batting an eyelid, ready to execute the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under any circumstances. When Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave his wife and leave his infant child in the barren lands of Makkah Mukarramah and to travel off, so obviously he had a concern. He complied 100%, totally submissive. But he had a concern for his family. So he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيَكُونَ عَلَى أَفْئِدَةٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. So the dua that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam makes for his family, for his wife and his child, he firstly expresses his total humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I am leaving my family, I'm leaving my child, I'm leaving my wife here in this barren land near the Baytullah. Ya Allah, I am helpless, I am leaving them here. But my primary concern, Ya Allah, is رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah, make them from those who perform the salah. Let salah be an integral part in their lives. So the primary concern for Nabi Ibrahim in the mind and the heart of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam for his family was salah. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Because salah is that thing which we will be questioned about first when our eyes close. As a believer, the first thing that we will be questioned about is our salah. Salah is the differentiation between iman and kufr. Then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam knew that they will be in this dunya, they are in this dunya, they are in this material world, they will need some support. Make dua for this also. فَجَعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَرْزُقُهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Ya Allah, incline the hearts of the people towards them. Human beings are social by nature. They're in a barren valley, uninhabited. Ya Allah, make the hearts of the people yearn towards them. Create a good inclination in the people's hearts toward them. Bless them with fruit, with sustenance. Commentators mentioned that the word fruit is used, but it implies all types of sustenance and rizq. But give them all of this, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Give them all of this, this dunya also, but have their mind and their zihn and their thinking towards you so that they make shukr, to make your shukr. That they are grateful to you. So, the concern of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam in the beginning is for their salah. They're about in the middle, something about the comforts of their dunya. And again at the end, his fikr and his salah, so their shukr, for the dunya that they even have. Mindset also in perspective that deen is priority in the beginning, deen is priority at the end, deen is priority through and through. Yes, here and there we will need dunya, we will have to have the fikr of dunya. And the deen of Islam does not stop a person from acquiring that amount of knowledge that he needs to earn a halal livelihood. It is encouraged actually to earn a halal livelihood, but in perspective. Without flouting the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without breaking the commands of Sharia, a person is encouraged to earn that amount of livelihood through which he can live comfortably in this world. But the priority and the main objective of a person is supposed to be his deen and his akhirah. The deen and the akhirah of his family. The deen and the akhirah of his children. If you look at Nabi of Allah, at the time that he was going to leave this dunya and pass away, the Quran speaks about his fikr, about his concern. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالْ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Were you present when death had come to Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, when he had gathered his family and he had asked them the question, he had posed a question to them. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. What will you worship after me? He was a Nabi of Allah. And the progeny of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam was also a very rich progeny in terms of nubuwat. Karim ibn al-Karim ibn al-Karim, words to this effect in the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, a pious progeny, a progeny of Anbiya alayhi salam. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam could have had many other concerns for them, or he could have given them many other parting advice. The Nabi of Allah, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, is about to breathe his last, is about to leave this dunya. So when a person is going to be leaving this dunya and he's about to breathe his last, then the words that he's going to share with his family members are about the most important thing to him in his heart and his mind at that time. So he could have advised them many other things. He could have advised them on staying on the Sharia. He could have advised them on maintaining favorable family ties between themselves. He could have advised them on many other things. But the words of the Quran and Majid, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam asks his children a question, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي? What will you worship after me? This was his fikr, this was his concern. Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, rahimahullah, the great alim, on this ayat, he comments and he says that this, the reality of this ayat, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي? What will you worship after me? The reality of this ayat has to come into the heart of each and every believer, into each and every mu'min, and the reality of how, the meaning of this, that the reality of this ayat has to come into our hearts, is that we must have the active concern of مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي? What will you worship after me? Have I made enough effort in my life, on my family, on my progeny, on my children, to mold their mindset in a way that I am certain and I'm comfortable in my mind and my heart that after I leave this dunya, inshallah, they will remain firm on the deen, they will remain upon the scruples of deen. Or do I have a doubt in this? Have I made enough effort on their deen? Have I made enough effort on their ta'aleem? Have I displayed that practical life to them so that they understand and that they know that the deen of Islam, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is at the forefront of everything in my life, or have I painted a different picture to them? Have I been instrumental in making those excuses for my children, as we mentioned in the beginning, for their dini ta'aleem, that no, the child won't be able to attend madrasa today because he's got a dental appointment. He won't be able to attend madrasa today because he's got tuition. He won't be able to come to madrasa today because of some other extracurricular activities at school. So the child's mind is already being molded that all of these things are priority, madrasa is secondary. Respected friends, the challenges that the Ummah is facing now is perhaps unparalleled in history from before. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, يُسْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنُ وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا أَوْ يُمْسِي مُؤْمِنُ وَيُسْبِحُ كَافِرًا يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. That a person will get up, by morning he will be a believer, and by evening he will be out of the fold of Islam. By evening he will be a believer, in the evening he will be a believer, and by morning he will be out of the fold of Islam. He will be prepared to forego his deen and sell his deen for a small portion of the dunya. The temptations will be before him. The challenges will be so strong against the teachings of deen. He will see everything being portrayed to him as materialistic, and the materialistic things of this dunya will be beautified for him. He will be then not able to understand the reality of his iman, understand the reality of this great gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him in this dunya and the akhirah, but he will be prepared to trade it in for a small portion of this dunya. From amongst the challenges that our youth and our children face, the many challenges that they face, from amongst them, some of the challenges that they are facing, two challenges that they are facing, and they are very detrimental to them, but they are not recognized as challenges. One is the secular education system, and the second is social media. The secular education system, though it is somewhat useful for them to learn certain things of this dunya in order to be able to progress, but there are many, many factors that are part of the secular education system that if we are not awake and if we are not vigilant, then we will be the first ones to suffer. CSE, the Comprehensive Sexuality Education Program, part of the syllabus, teaching our children the most filthiest things from the time they are in grade 4 onwards, corrupting their pure minds from the time they are in their formative years onwards. Then you have things like the theory of evolution, which is drummed into their heads, that our great-grandparents were apes, we came from apes, na'udhu billah. So now that child is hearing that story, day in and day out in school, story of evolution, great-grandfather was an ape, we came from monkeys, sees the diagram, sees the pictures, he sees all that, so now it's entrenched in his mind. Time to come to madrasa and hear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Nabi Adam alayhi salam was the first man. How he was created. How Hawa radiallahu anhu was created. How this process of the dunya. That time he was busy playing soccer. That time he was busy going for cricket practice. That time he was busy doing tuition. He didn't come to madrasa to hear what the reality of man is. So this is entrenched in his mind what he heard in the school. Now for the rest of his life also, if you're going to try to convince him, you know, this is your beginnings, this is how you were created, he will always have this doubt in his mind. Why? Because that verbally and visually, it was entrenched in his mind and in his heart. So he's walking a fine line towards atheism. And then we find that because we want them to be in the prestigious schools, top ranking schools, so then we will try our best to send them in those Christian ethos schools, because they are taking out the best, highest aggregate learners, most A aggregates, best extracurricular activities, best facilities for a child, but the child is wearing that symbol of the cross on his blazer, on his school uniform, his or her school uniform every day. The child is subjected to the different Christian practices in that school. He has to sit and say mass and whatever those other Christian processes and beliefs are, he's subjected to all of that. Do we think that after a child spends 5, 6, 7 years in a school like that, it's not going to have an impact on his mind? It's not going to have an impact on his chain of thought. It's not going to have an impact on his beliefs. If this is what we feel, then we are strongly bluffing ourselves. We are certainly bluffing ourselves. We are living a lie for ourselves and for our children. Respected friends, the reason for bringing up this discussion at this time of the year, my apologies for going over the time slightly. I'll be rounding up now in 2 minutes, inshallah. This is the time of the year when parents are now concerned about sending their children to school, making the arrangements for school, making the arrangements for enrollments, etc. More important than that, let us have the figure of making the arrangement for our children to be attending Maktab Madrasa. The tried and tested system from generations, from time immemorial, since our four great-great-grandfathers came to South Africa. The thing, one of the greatest factors that has held us together in on our deen, the work of the Tabligh Jamaat, together with that is the work of the Makatib. This dini ta'aleem that our children and most of us have acquired is irreplaceable, is something that is priceless. The deen that many of us as adults have today is because of the maktab situation, education that we had received in our formative years. Whatever we know of deen, few of us, handful, will have the privilege to go and study higher education, dini higher education, but the masses are reliant on that maktab education that they had received in their formative years. Each and every one of us can think of this. Think of it ourselves. Think of your own situation. The dini knowledge that you got, where did you get it from? From your formative maktab years. So let us have this figure in our minds. More than the school figure is that, is my child enrolled in the right madrasa? Am I keeping in contact with the ustads? Am I checking on my child? Am I ensuring that my child is attending madrasa every day for the full time? Am I ensuring that my child is learning and revising his madrasa work so that the day when my eyes are closed, at least he'll be able to read 3 times pulls for me and send. At least he'll be able to come to the qabristan and make dua for me. At least he'll be able to sit wherever he is and have that thought that these are my parents, I must lift up my hands and make dua for them. This is for something for us to think for ourselves. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, in our masjid, we have an extensive maktab program from the nursery school right up to high school grades. We take children right up to mutsik also if they are prepared to attend. Together with that, we have also introduced this year, for the ease of certain people, certain students, certain youngsters that have now passed the school age or they are in the higher grades, we have even accommodated for them by having a once a week class on a Friday from 3:30 to 4:30, boys and girls. Parents who are interested, they can contact me. Together with that, we have also now implemented an adult class, inshallah, once a week, that we will be announcing soon for learning Quran Sharif, etc., some masail of fiqh, once a week in our masjid. So we have put all these things in place. It is for us now to realize the importance of this and take benefits from this and use this opportunity to educate ourselves, educate our children. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.